Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming out today. A little warmer today. It's like a heat trend. I can handle it, can't you? But last week was cold, and you still came out, so I thank you for that. Before we get into the sermon, I want to thank everyone who helped us yesterday. We went to Mount Carmel skating, and I just want you to know I did not skate. I'm getting smarter as I get older. But we had 35 go, so let's all give it up for everybody that went for that. I know some people that were young and able to skate, and they did not. But we had a good time. We ate at Taco Tier. And there is rumors in the air that we're going to either go ice skating or we're going to have some type of group outing at Lincoln Trail Christian or Lincoln Trail State Park over here camping. So if you're interested in any of that, maybe we can make the rumors come true. So there you go. We are recently in an outreach program here at Central. And I know the weather's been rough, and I know COVID's been rough, but I want you to know we continue with our goal, and our goal is to reach 10 families, get 10 families involved in this church, be a part of this church in the year 2021. And as I think about that number, 10 families, you know, that's really not that many if you think about it. I mean, Lawrence County's a pretty big county, and we could really do better than 10, but we're focusing on 10 now. I want you to continue to be a part of that. Continue, pray about that. And take those seven phases we gave you last week and put them on your refrigerator and pray over them and look at them every time you go to the refrigerator. If you go to the refrigerator as much as I do, that's a lot of looking. But I want to encourage you to be a part of that because we are in the business of growing. Now, Jim keeps asking me, why don't you mention that thing that you keep saying? So here it is, if you want to write it down. We are to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. And how many of you have never heard that before? We're to be fishers of men and not keepers of the aquarium, and that is true. And whoever coined the phrase, they're absolutely right. 2 weeks ago, we talked about looking across the table, and I encourage you to focus on your family, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your mom or dad, wherever the case may be. And I told you to try to talk to them. That's hard, talking to your own family sometimes. How many of you sit down for supper every night around the table? Both of you? Yeah, I have found that as we get older, if we're not careful, we can sit around the couch and not sit around the table. And I think that's very unbeneficial to our families because it doesn't do us any justice. We don't get a chance to talk quality time. So I want to encourage you to sit down with your family at supper time, look across the table, and make sure all of your family is doing all right. Make sure all of your family is saved as Christ is coming back. Amen. He is coming back. Last week we said, let's look across the street and encourage you to look at your neighbor. And I know it was 6 degrees and most of you did not walk across the street. You did not talk to your neighbor. And some of your neighbors are really hard to talk to anyway. Amen. But you can do this. And I want to encourage you as this week warms up to walk across the street, to talk to your neighbor, invite them to church, ask them if it'd be all right for us to send them a card. You can do that. This morning we're going to broaden our horizons a little bit, not just reach our families and not just reach our neighbors across the street, but I want us to reach into all the world. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize everyone you can come in contact with. And that's everybody. And we need to be willing to do that. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter 4. I want to focus on verses 2 through 6. And while you're turning there, let me tell you about the minister who was out calling on a prospective member one day. When he arrived to the house, he knocked on the door several times. He knocked, and no one came to the door. So he left a little note. Dear friend, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in and dine with them. Revelation 3:20. The very next Sunday, that prospective member actually came to church. And after thanking the minister for visiting their home, they slipped the minister a little note. And when he had a chance to read it, it said this: Dear minister, I heard you, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I ran and I hid. Genesis 3:10. Well, I don't know how many times that will preach. But anyway, let's get into Colossians chapter 4 before we all get in trouble. Verses 2 through 6 of Colossians chapter 4 says this. He writes to the church at Colossae during his first imprisonment in Rome, and he says these words, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being thankful and watchful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should, and be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." One of the things I've noticed about many Christians, especially in today's world, is they're discouraged. You ever battle discouragement? Anybody have the nerve to raise their hand? It's okay. We all battle discouragement from time to time. Discouraged about our walk with Christ. Discouraged about our church from time to time. Discouraged about our families. And even discouraged when it comes to outreaching to other people in our world. The Apostle Paul was no different. I think sometimes we play him out to be a super apostle. I want you to know he wasn't. He struggled in times of discouragement. And he needed to often reach out to the churches so he could find encouragement. I want you to know that when we come here to worship, it ought to be a time of encouragement. And if it's not, I'm convinced a lot of times it's our fault. Because if you walk around with a solemn face all the time, how can anybody be discouraged just by looking at your appearance? So on the count of three, everybody smile. One, two, three. Okay. All 10 of you did fine. But you know, we do have times of discouragement. And we do have bouts of discouragement. Paul says, be devoted to prayer. Pray for me. Pray that God will open the door to so I can evangelize. And pray that I may proclaim it clearly and plainly. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that evangelism is getting tougher. Anybody notice that? Used to be church was the thing that everybody did, and it was a whole lot easier to go out and call on people and evangelize people, and they would come to church, and they were encouraged, and you were encouraged, and our churches were growing. You know what our churches are doing now? A lot of them are declining. I think because a lot of it is discouragement in our families, in our churches, in our society, and we don't have to get into government. We know it's a very discouraging time right now. We're very ununited. But I want you to know, if we're going to be effective in reaching the lost for Christ, then we have to be encouraged. We have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to spend time in prayer. Now, besides prayer, I want to give you some motivators that will help you go into the world beginning this week. First of all, God has commanded us to go. The very first week we looked at the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of age. And we said the Great Commission was not a suggestion, but a command. And it doesn't involve some Christians, it involves every Christian. In Matthew 9:35, on your sheets there, Jesus speaks some similar words. And he mentions a plea at the end. Listen, if you will. He says, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. I don't need to remind you that we have a shortage of preachers. And they may be listening to this, and they may not be listening to this. I want you to know that our Bible colleges, I'm very disappointed in them. Used to be our Bible colleges encouraged preaching. If I'm not mistaken, on Johnson Bible College chapel wall, it says, open night and day to the young man who desires above every other desire to preach the gospel of Christ. They used to focus on that at Johnson. They used to focus on that at Lincoln. They used to focus on that at St. Louis. But now they focus on other things, other vocations. And that's fine. But I want you to know, preaching must be a priority. Amen? It has to be a priority. We need more preachers in our pulpits. And we need to send out more preachers to be in our pulpits. Our churches need to send men to our Bible colleges. And we need to encourage them to get behind the pulpit. If you look at our churches now, we have a sharp decline. And we have a really sharp decline when it comes to filling our pulpits in the church. And Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, and the workers, the laborers, are few. Now, what's the problem? What's the problem with all this? Well, here's what I think a lot of the problem is. We don't encourage our young men near enough. You agree with that? We don't encourage them enough. And one of the ways we can encourage them, we can be willing to pay for them to go to Bible college, at least a part of their tuition. When I signed up for Johnson Bible College, Lancaster Christian Church, Lancaster Church of Christ, they supported me. They started out lower, and as I completed my degree, they give me more and more and more. Kingdom Builders, which we are very faithful at attending, their primary goal is to send out preachers, to give them money so that they can go. Sometimes they get a pretty good check from the Kingdom Builders because there's only one or two of them. I think that's great. That's encouragement. But more than anything, we need to pray for them. We need to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. I want you to do something for me. I want you to write it down, actually. How many of you have a cell phone? Hold them up. All right. All right. Is that it? I know. Please don't text me during my sermon because I don't have my cell phone on me. But here's what I want you to do. All of you probably have alarm clocks on your cell phones. So sometime after the sermon, I know some of you might do it now, and I'll let you get by with that. But after the sermon, I want you to set a time every day of the week that you will stop and pray for the young people of our church. Can you do that? Let your alarm sound a time, preferably when you're not at work or out doing something, that your alarm will go beep, 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 and you'll know that it's time to pray for our young people. Friends, I want you to know that we need our young people in the church. And you have heard me say this, and I'll say it again. They are the future of the church. And without them, the church is going to die. Not the church, not Christ's church, but there are churches dying all over our nation, and it's because we're not spending enough time praying. We're not spending enough time encouraging one another. And here's the deal. If we would outreach and evangelize like we're supposed to, young people would come to know the Lord, would they not? They would come to know the Lord. Romans 10, 14 through 15, I love it. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I can honestly tell you today, there is nothing in the world I'd rather be doing than what I'm doing this morning. Yeah, I've done other things. I've worked at ADM, and I farmed most of my life. I've worked at Champion Laboratories. I drove a semi downtown Indianapolis. Would not recommend it whatsoever. I've worked at Toyota. And every time I go away, I want to come back. You want to know why? Because lives are being changed through the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? We need to go. A second motivator for outreach is this. We must be involved in mission given or mission going. Now, I've always said this. If you're not willing to go, then you need to be willing to give. I got to get an amen there. The strength of our churches are in our missions. 1 Peter 4, 10 says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the things I look at before I ever accept a position as a church is their mission giving. And I want you to know, I don't want to burst your bubble, if you did not give to missions, I would not have come here. So I want to congratulate you on the missions that you support. We actually have 11 of them. Thank you for picking up my wife's mission, Myanmar Samaritan Mission. You can call it Burma Samaritan Mission if you want to. One of the things I know that you are very adamant about is giving to missions, and the leaders are adamant about giving to missions, and I want to encourage that. I was raised in a church that was adamant about giving to missions, and in 1984 we started our own mission at Lancaster Christian School. We bought the old school. It was in dire need of repairs. We put a new roof on it. We started up, and at one time we had almost 100 kids going to Lancaster Christian School. Can I just tell you, that's a mission? That's a mission. And here's another answered prayer. We paid $9,000 for that school. $9,000. You know, I don't know about you, but I think God had a hand in that, didn't you? And I know that it was in dire need of repair, and we all came together, men, boys, and even girls, and we got to work, and we scrubbed the floor, and we put a new roof on that school, and to this day, they are still going. I called the other day, I think they had 32 kids. You know what? That's 32 kids. It really is. That's a mission. And the strength of our mission, and we have 11 of them here at Central Christian Church, the strength of this church is in our mission giving. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus tells us some very interesting words, words that stumped a lot of commentators over the years, and it says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And then the end will come. What's that mean? Well, a lot of commentators say it means this or that, but they're wrong. This is what it means. What Jesus is trying to say here is until the whole world knows about the name of Jesus Christ, until that happens, he will not come. Now, after the whole world knows and then he comes, we don't know exactly when that's going to be. But we do know that the whole world must know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I don't know if you're aware of it. They have a thing called the 1040 window. Anybody ever heard of the 1040 window? Well, what's the 1040 window? It started in 1990 by Louise Bush, and it is a 10 degrees, 40 degrees across North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, and some other small countries within there. Most of them include Muslim, Hindus, and Buddhists, those who have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. And as you look across that 1040 window, you realize that these people are lost. They're dying. They're on their way to hell. So in the Christian church, especially for Christian missionaries, they try to focus on that 1040 window to get the message of Jesus out to those so that they might come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to know today as I speak, in the 1040 window, there are several people that have still never heard of Jesus Christ. Now you might be thinking, that's impossible. Oh, it is possible. As a matter of fact, I believe even in America, parents are not introducing their kids to Jesus anymore. And there are people, even in the good old United States of America, that have never heard of Jesus Christ. Anybody believe that? Within the last 10 years, our country has plummeted when it comes to church and evangelism. And I want you to know, we need to turn that around. We need to turn that around. If you're not willing to go, at least be willing to give to missions. A final motivator when it comes to outreach is this. World evangelism will not only grow the kingdom, it will also grow your faith. I have been on a mission trip to Burma. I have been on a mission trip to Cumberland Falls over there. We helped rebuild a house over there. I have been to Pine Haven in St. Ignatius, Montana. Anybody ever been there? They have a children's home out there. I've been on a mission trip. We went out there and we cut wood. And we had a great time. And you know what? You know what it did? It not only helped those people, it also helped me. It helped me. And I walked away stronger in my faith than I would have ever if I had not have gone. In Colossians 2:6-7, Paul says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." And we have gone over 1 Peter 3:15 several times, but I want to read it again. "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason and the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." No matter where you are in sharing your faith, whether here or abroad, we must be on our best behavior when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because they're not just listening to you, they're watching you. Back in 2017, 18, and 19, several of you got the opportunity to go to Arizona. And I know American Indian Christian Mission has a soft spot in your heart. Amen? It does. But I want to say something, because I don't know if I've ever heard of any church doing this before, but you guys made these kids do homework. You're not going until you get this done, right? Well, I think there was one person at least didn't get it done. Didn't get a go. And I'm thankful that you guys stuck to your guns, but I think it's great that you made them do homework so they could prepare, not just mentally, but spiritually, to take this mission trip. And if I'm not mistaken, you were also asked to do a Bible study, right? You were asked to do that. And I think that's great. We need to hold our kids accountable, and we need to encourage them to go on mission trips. Now, before I close this morning, I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I'm going to ask Austin Chapman to come up here, and I want him to tell you what American Indian Christian Mission means to him.
Oh, you're going to make me cry, Carson. It means, like, it's life-changing. It really is. When a little girl walks up to you about Macy's age and is about to cry and just, like, ask you to paint her fingernails, you can't tell her no. You really can't. I think one of us said no, and then they got him the next year, and he got his fingernails painted. But just getting the opportunity, and my first year, I stepped up and I taught a lesson. I've never done that here, but I did it somewhere else. And just knowing that you have a team behind your back, just supporting you and encouraging you. Like the night before, I didn't study till the night before the lesson, until I sat in the little dorm room with Roger and I read that lesson like 500 times. And it's absolutely life-changing. And if you ever get an opportunity to go, I highly recommend it. Like I've learned more on a mission trip with some guys, and I've built some great bonds with a lot of you people. And I just highly recommend it. So if you find the time to go, I highly recommend it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Austin. I thought he was going to finish the sermon here. But I know that this mission holds a dear place in your guys' heart. I want to encourage you to sign up. I don't think we're going to get to go this year because of COVID. But next year, that big old black bus, wouldn't it be great if we had that thing loaded and headed towards Arizona? We can do that. I want to close our time together this morning by reading 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. What is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters has one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. We're planting seeds everywhere we go. Lawrenceville, Illinois, Arizona, Oblong Children's Home, we're planting seeds everywhere we go. We took 35 people to Mount Carmel, Illinois yesterday. Why do we do that? We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds here and we're planting seeds there. And we pray that the Lord will make them grow and become men and women in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our goal. As they come to play, let me tell you about one of my favorite illustrations. A man was walking on the beach, and the tides had washed up starfish, and they were laying all over the beach, and they were starving to death because they wanted water, and they couldn't get back out to sea. And there's this old gentleman out there, and he goes by, and he picks up a starfish, and he hurls that starfish. He picks up another one, and he hurls that starfish, and some skeptic comes along, and he says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm saving this starfish." He said, "There are thousands of starfish along the seashore. You're only saving just a few of them." And the man looked at him. He says, "You know what?" He picked up a starfish and he threw it. Made a difference to that one. And he picks up another one and he says, "It made a difference to that one." And I want you to know, as we close the day, you are making a difference in the people around you by the way you live and by your evangelism. Are you going to save everybody? No. But we have to save some, don't we? I want to encourage you today to go. Go into all the world, not just across the table or across the street. Everywhere you go, remember, you are planting seeds. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, sometimes it feels like that we're not doing any good. Sometimes it feels like when we preach and when we teach that we wonder if anybody's listening. Lord, but there may be some out there listening. And Lord, we may be planting seeds that we don't know about. And those seeds may not mature until 20, 30, 40, or maybe even after our life. They may not mature until then. But Lord, help us to plant the seeds. Lord, help us to realize that we're only servants. In the midst of your kingdom, we realize that it's only you that makes a seed grow. Lord, help the seeds to grow as we evangelize our communities for you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.